This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And I'll tell you what, it's been a hectic day already. It's noon, it's 12:07. This is Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range for the Manny Fry Show, filling in for Annie as she is on vacation right now, spending some time with the family. Is everybody feeling that it's really hectic right now, or is it just us here?
It might just be us here.
I mean, we're pressing buttons and things, yeah, like in 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, there are buttons. There was fires to put out in the studio during Kill Me.
Not literal.
No, but
just on-air fires, almost. But hey, it's been a mixed bag of a day. Good news and bad news, but I'll tell you what, we're going to walk through a lot of the good news today. There are some, of course, things that we need to housekeep and, you know, keep an eye on this and that the dark side is trying to do. But we have really good news mostly to report. And I'm glad to say that that is how we're going to start the show today, with some bright side news. Brad, you okay with that?
Yeah, let's do some happy stuff.
Get us back on track.
Let's start with happy.
All right. Let me read a headline to you. Walmart to phase out DEI initiatives amid escalated attacks from conservatives. Now, this is not from a right-leaning website. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's The Guardian. But the headline that I'm seeing all over the place, Walmart to phase out DEI initiatives. Thank you for finding that button, because that is great news. The fact that Walmart says the world's largest retailer, although I'm not sure that's maybe brick and mortar, because Amazon, I think, is by far the biggest retailer in the world right now. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, will phase out several diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in its workplaces. Here's where you're like, here's the spin. As far-right conservatives continue to take aim at such programs, all these far-right conservatives,
like also known as
Tulsi Gabbard and
normal people,
the people in the middle that voted for Trump and Democrat senators in swing states. You know, that's the far-right conservatives. But what's amazing is that it's not just in their hiring practices. Because that's where you think about these things. Like, oh, you got to sit down, because this is the way we all experience them. You sit down in your workplace and you got to watch the video and you groan at the video, and they try to make it funny now because they know everybody's groaning at it. And you're like, God, just get me through this thing. It's not just those things. It's not just considering race when hiring people. Here's how bad the DEI initiatives have gotten. Consider if I make coats or something. We're getting in the cold season, so coats are on the top of my mind, apparently. If I make coats and I want to sell them to a coat warehouse, and the coat warehouse would tell me, you know what, we like your coats, but we don't like your race. That is super, super racist.
Right.
That is, you know, in the old days, we would just call it racism.
Racism.
Not like reverse racism or whatever racism. It's just racism. You can't make decisions like that based on people's race. But that's exactly what some of the DEI initiatives do. Because it's not just intra-workplace. It's how they buy things. And a retailer like Walmart that's buying a lot of things from a lot of businesses, some of them small businesses. You know, it's not all the big Procter & Gambles that they're buying their stuff from.
Right.
They buy a lot of local stuff. Mm-hmm. Produce, for instance. They buy a lot of individual products if something starts to take off. But here's one of the changes that's going to happen. They are going to start dropping race and gender as a means to improve diversity when making offers to suppliers and other outlets. So instead of using race as any sort of indicator as to why they should buy a product for you to buy in their stores, they're going to drop that.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea. It's really great that the nation finally now, maybe under Donald Trump, is starting to finally move away from racism. Yep, you heard that here first, here on the Manny Fry Show. So I wanted to lead with some good news like that, because there's a lot of it. I'm going to get to more here. And there are other companies, though. Walmart is just the first. And I tell you what, if you Google this right now, the stories that you see popping up are like warnings. Mm-hmm. Warning! Companies are getting rid of their DEI initiatives. Yeah. Like, you can't do this. And they're not even really tying it to Trump, but that's clearly what's going on.
Yeah, that's the angle.
As this article is saying, it's the far right activists that they're giving into. No, they're giving into actually the majority of the country. We just had an election that proved that. Walmart, which employs approximately 1.6 million U.S. workers, is only the latest company to end its DEI programs in recent months. Lowe's, Harley-Davidson, and Ford have all scaled back their DEI programming. I love that they called it programming. Very nice. So there's your first good news of the day.
Oh, that's exciting.
Don't know what kind of day you're having, if it's been a little chaotic and you're just tuning in to kind of take a break. Maybe it's on your lunch hour. Let's give you some more good news. We won't stop there.
You know, it's funny. Like you were talking about this with these, the way that they're presenting this is like, you know, they're like, it's kind of Trump is why they would do this. Can you believe that it's happening under him? And everybody that voted for him is kind of like,
this is what we wanted.
Yeah, we voted for this. Yes, we understood.
It's back to the old thing. We've said it a few times now. We are exactly 3 weeks from the election today. We've said it many times. This election disproved all the narratives.
Yes,
all the theories going into it because of, and in light of this story, every racial group. Actually, this is something we're hosting again tomorrow, Brad and I. So this is something I'm going to bring in tomorrow. It's an in-depth look at how far right each racial group and even demographic groups, so that would include age, gender, everything, went. Mm-hmm. Because they all moved right.
They shifted.
From 2020. But some of them, you look at the graphs, and I'll say it, and you'll go, holy smokes. We're talking shifts that you heard, oh, maybe the African-American vote would shift by maybe like 5 points.
Yeah.
When I give you those numbers tomorrow, we'll do a whole segment on it. You're going to go, wow. And hang on to that, because that's one of those things that in the coming weeks and months, people are going to resurrect those same arguments. Oh, it's all racism. Remember this when we go through this. Mm-hmm. But I want to get to this other good news item here right at the top of the show. And by the way, huge show. I'm trying to pack a lot in here because we have a lot of great guests. Paul Nicolucci is coming in next. He is a Madison County board member. There are people, believe it or not, right here locally, whose job it is, apparently, or hobby, to get Satanist books into more and more kids' hands. We'll talk about that next. Jim Carafano at 107, and then Steve Holly, executive director of the St. Louis Budweiser Guns and Hoses, which is happening right here on our air tomorrow night. Before we get there, of course, and Mark Cox in the 2 o'clock hour, mm-hmm. too. We're going to catch up with him on the ATF raffle. Here's your other good news item. Trump vows new Canada, Mexico, and China tariffs that threaten global trade. Now, of course, I'm not reading from a right-leaning news organization right. here. So you might go, well, how is that good news that he's vowing tariffs ahead of even being in office? Well, amazingly, it's causing things to change even before he takes office. We're seeing some great things here, and this is from Reuters, which is clearly not Trump-friendly territory. Even in the little like note lines that get before you get into mm-hmm. the article, it says that Trump's 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada are over fentanyl and migration. For China, an additional 10% tariff above any other tariffs, and China's saying no one will win in a trade war, which is great to hear. Because that means that we're going to win in a trade
right.
war. That's the thing about Donald Trump. He gets, now whether we ever see these actual tariffs or not, we could see nothing.
Right.
Remember, in his first term, he passed with the help of Nancy Pelosi, who did not want any part of it, but knew her constituents were going to smoke her out of office if mm-hmm. she didn't sign it. She and he signed the USMCA. Right. That was the new trade agreement that preempted NAFTA.
Right.
So is Trump going to be able to go in, or was he willing to go in and blow up or renegotiate USMCA that he helped push? In fact, he was the reason it happened. I don't know. He's probably willing to do whatever it takes, because based on this, if you were, this is another one, you look it up, you're going to see every news outlet going, prices are going to rise All of a sudden, all these news outlets that did not care about prices for 4 years, yeah. now they care about the possibility that this action has a domino effect that could make prices rise.
It's sort of a simplistic understanding of what's going on, though. So prices rise on the goods that are imported. So if they're mirrored tariffs, meaning if there's an equally produced American product, guess what's not going to rise? The price of that American product. It's only going to be on the imported goods. This is why tariffs protect American workers or can be used to protect American workers. And then, like you were saying, the other side of that is he may put them in place, he may not. It just depends on how Mexico and Canada and China react to the threat of these tariffs.
It's used exactly like you said to onshore production mm-hmm. here, which worked. We watched it work yep. in his first 4 years. But that's not exactly what Trump is doing here. He's threatening that that could be what he does if they mm-hmm. don't pay attention. But guess who's already paying attention? Mexico, China, and Canada. Eric Daugherty, who is a Florida First News reporter or mm-hmm. something like that on Twitter, has reported this morning that even before Trump takes office, in light of, he just announced this yesterday.
Right.
Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, has already called him and said, let's talk about our border. The president of Mexico has already called him today. This is what he's reporting, and said, I am going to not only start talking border with you, we're going to stop the current caravan that's coming up. He's not even in office yet, you right. guys. He's doing all of this just by simple threat of using the leverage of the power of the American economy to do it.
And they know that he will make good on that threat.
That's
they know
exactly
he'll
right.
do it.
That's exactly right. So there's your good news. I wanted to give you lots of good news because I do have some tales from the dark side that I have to report with you here.
There is, unseen by most, an underworld. A place that is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side.
That's just to warn you that this isn't as good a news. California still has two House races that they're not done counting.
Jeez.
It is, like I said at the beginning of this segment, 3 weeks after the election. Now listen to me. If you are one of those people who howls about making sure that people trust democracy, count the votes quicker than 3 weeks after the election. We're not talking about a lot of votes here. We're talking about 99% of the vote is in. These are two very, very close House races. They're not going to determine the balance of the House because the Republicans already have right. that at about 220 right now. But if they were to get both of these seats, they'll have 222. Neither, they'll stay at 220. Either way, they're in the majority. But the point is, even if it's just a small number of votes, which it is, we're talking about the Republican leads 50.1% to 49.9% in one of these races and flip it for the other,
right.
where the Democrat leads by 0.1%. I get having to be meticulous about that. But what is left out there that you can't find that's real votes 3 weeks later?
And this is the initial, right? This is not a recount.
This is not a recount. This is still that first vote, because in Pennsylvania, you've had the recounts.
Right.
You had a lot of shenanigans going on in Pennsylvania at the same time, too. But these are seats. Now, if you look up and down the line, you're going to see there are lots of seats where only 87% are counted. But those are blowout seats.
Mm-hmm.
I think they all should be counted 3 weeks after. Don't get me wrong, because some states do have that now. But the problem is that when you have a tight seat like that, that let's say it was the House in the balance. What, this isn't a statewide race. This is a district
right.
in the state. It's not as if you're riding horses from San Francisco to Sacramento to San Diego to try to pick up the votes. This is one little district, usually in a highly concentrated area mm-hmm. that they're trying to count. And they're going, well, there's still like 500 out there that we haven't counted yet. Why haven't you counted them yet? What are you waiting on? You champions of democracy have got to get your state, because this all stems from bad state laws. If you want to see a state that's run great, look at
Florida.
Florida. They have made their laws, and Arizona election watchers acknowledge this, even on the left. They say, well, ours aren't as great because our laws are different. Change your laws.
Yeah.
Get your
laws
to where people don't have to wait, let alone the candidates themselves are still waiting 3 weeks after the election has ended. They don't know if they're in the House or not. It is crazy to be in this position in the United States. Statewide races, I get there's a lot. District races, there are not as many. You're talking about maybe 300,000 votes. That's like the size of Columbia, Missouri. And you're just like, well, there's probably a handful of 500 houses out there or absentee ballots.
We didn't do it, and
it's amazing.
They're stuck in the mail machine, just waiting to get here.
And it is always from states that have really loose election laws. They'll vary. Every state's a little bit different, and that's okay. But when you can't tighten it up to where we're still making fun of you, who knows? Maybe a month later, we could get into December and not have this thing decided.
Is that the right approach to fix this? Do we just start ridiculing them?
I think we have to. I think that's what we're doing here by playing these funny sounders. Everybody's having a good time. See? Everybody's having a good time. Look at you, you stupid California districts that can't count all your votes. Anyway, we'll stop there. Paul Nicolucci's coming in next. Speaking of crazy stuff, man, he was a guest on my weekend show, Wiggins America, and I was talking to Brad about it, and Brad's like, man, we got to get him back in here. That story is just too much. If you haven't heard us talk about the Satanist books that are being pushed locally, stick around for the story because it's a wild one. That's next here on the Annie Fry Show. Hey, you're listening to the Manny Fry Show here. Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range. We'll probably get Ethan in the next segment. Ethan, are you doing Wiggins America in the next segment?
Yes,
that's a yes from off mic. Right now, our guest is Paul Nicolucci. He is a Madison County board member and just got reelected. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. A lot happened since we saw each other last, huh?
Well, a lot happened. Well, we couldn't hear that. We got you on. A lot happened since we saw each other last. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
There we go. There we can hear you. So last time we spoke, it was right before the election.
Yes, sir.
And you were on my weekend show. Tell me, before we get into the story about the books and the library stuff, what's going on in Madison County, Illinois? This has been traditionally a judicial hellhole. Mm-hmm. In the past, this was a lean blue, maybe purple district, but a lot's changed.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the judicial races. I think this is the first time, maybe ever, definitely in recent history, we have a Republican judicial majority. We're going to keep the ball rolling with that. As far as elected officials, yeah, it's bright red. It looks
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, every countywide elected official is a Republican. We have 26 board members. 20 of them are now Republican. And I'll be honest with you, it's more purple than you think. There's a really good, hardworking Republicans right now that are running really good campaigns, and we're communicating with the voters, and we just run on substance, you know?
Yeah, that's what's been amazing. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens overnight, so of course it's not as if the entire electorate just decided, I'm conservative now. But in my lifetime, now I've grown up entirely in Madison County, Illinois, and I remember this was a blue district.
Sure.
You know, and in the last few years, it's amazing to see you guys. It's an entirely Republican Madison County board now, right?
Besides six of them, yeah. And
how many are there total?
There's 26 board members.
26, okay, yeah, 20 to
20 Republican. Every countywide elected official is Republican.
We just got to get some of those statewide races in there.
Well, I'll tell you, Madison County is very strange. It seems like the Democrats have really condensed pockets of voters. Like Edwardsville is very, once you add up Edwardsville, it's pretty blue.
But they draw lines around it so that it can just be the blue areas with other blue areas,
you know,
statewide.
They really do, especially with Katie Stewart's district. She goes from Caseyville, has Collinsville, Maryville, then she loops around, gets some of Granite, then just takes up Edwardsville. And to give you just a frame of reference, this last election, I think Jay was pretty much beating her until they got to Edwardsville. Then he lost about every precinct but one.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's what happens when you have statewide control done by Democrats. But I'm just so encouraged to see what's happening in our county, Paul. This story, though, let's talk about what in the world, because this is stuff that even people that aren't in politics are going, what? Tell me what's happening here. So,
All right. So
walk us back to the beginning for people who've not heard this story. Where does this whole thing start?
Okay, guys, for you listening at home, everything I'm saying is true. It can be backed up by social media posts, more importantly, recorded comments at these library board meetings. What I'm saying is 100% true. We're about to get into the X-Files version of the show, I guess. Around mid-September, a satanic book was placed in a library.
In Collins,
without so. Going the proper protocols. It's called At Satan's Altar.
Take your time.
This September?
This September, okay. Yes, sir.
So this is a fast story.
So, you know, once the library board found out about it, they removed it, didn't pass the proper protocols. So then a prominent elected official, and I'm just going to say people's names. I'm not going to spare them. I'm going to say stuff that they actually did. They posted.
You're not
on Facebook.
Trying to slander anybody. You're just telling them, saying the facts.
I've stated these facts at other meetings,
right?
What these people have done. They accused me of attacking them and slandering them. If you want to talk about slander, look what they said about me this election. But anyway, so there was a prominent Democrat. She's a Maryville Council Township trustee named Ashley Stewart. She made a pro-satanic books, you know, satanic book post. And that got... this is really true, guys. The pro-satanic crowd came to the library. They had a day of action.
Uh-huh.
Trustee candidate Michael Treese, he's a former trustee. He lost his election last time, and he hasn't taken it good. So his day of action was to put this satanic book in the library. This went down October. I think it was October 21st, 22nd, the last
Yeah, it was close
Monday.
To the election.
Yeah, so they had this, I mean, listen to the audio of the meetings. These people... acted and talked like people you'd expect who want to put satanic books in libraries. And that was where they were going with it. They're trying to draw me into a fight. They attack my church constantly online. They attack me as a Christian nationalist. I told you last time, I don't even really know what that means. I mean,
if you're, yeah, welcome to politics.
You're right.
What does that mean?
Well, if you look at anything I've done politically, I'm sure I'm a Christian. I'm not going to apologize for that.
Right.
But if you look at any resolution that I voted on, I talked about, you know, help write, or if you look at any of my mail I sent out, my walk piece, doesn't bring my faith up at all. It's just not really germane to what I do on the county board. So them saying I'm some Christian nationalist, that's not how I, you know, legislate. So
whenever you get into that stuff, you know, okay, they're kind of grasping here. So reframing here, you have a person who tries to get a Satanist book into the mm-hmm. Collinsville Library.
Sure.
And the board says, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And in fact, that's kind of why you elected this board, because that board was very different than the previous board.
Oh,
and that current board says, no, we're not going to put that book in the library. Then they, what is there a meeting that happens then? Is that where people went crazy or
they
what
went
was
crazy
that?
In late October? And I'll say they got crazier last Monday than
but,
before.
But this was not a huge group of people.
I'd
but
say it's pretty good size group.
Is it?
Yeah, there's probably about 15 of them, and there's probably about 20 people who are concerned citizens who go to church. They were quiet.
Uh-huh.
It's church mouse. Hey.
Hey.
But like they're pretty quiet. They weren't making the noise of the other people. And then, you know, they had another meeting.
What were they yelling at this meeting, though? I mean, what were they doing and saying to you guys? Just were they just inflammatory, like, we hate you, and you guys are, what are you, you're against
I got
what?
I got called a Nazi by somebody, and that was kind of weird. And I don't even know. I can't pick these people out of a lineup of one. And why they talk about me on Facebook constantly, or they talk about me in my church, most of these, like the last library board meeting they had last Monday, they talked about my church and me more than anybody, more than anything, and I'm not even on the library board.
Right.
And my church, no one from my church is on the library board. They just went up public comments and just completely trashed us. And
it seems like weird to me.
Yeah.
Like almost like a Satanist
so
doesn't like church.
Calling us Christian nationalists, rodents. I got called a Nazi, which is kind of strange. My grandpa, who fought the Third Reich in World War II, has a brick out there. He's a Collinsville resident. He passed away 2011. So it's just kind of surreal. And I kid you not, last Monday, you know, they were ticked off. I gave a sermon at my church. Not a sermon, I apologize. I talked about the last 2 minutes. These people watch my church on Sunday online.
So you were giving like the benediction or whatever at the end.
Well, I just thanked everybody for my election. And I said, just keep staying involved. I said, everybody knows what happened to me this past election. They tried to use my church and my faith as a tip of their political spear. A smear campaign was unleashed. None of it worked. I won. I won a traditionally Democrat district. I'm pretty much the
first. That's great.
Republican to have that district.
You work hard.
Yeah, I try to, because I mean, if I try hard and I lose, there's no shame in that. If you're lazy and you lose, hey, you got, you know, something's wrong.
So catch us up. So that meeting happened, the election happened.
Right.
Now I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing then you have another library meeting where after the election, guys, these people got to be losing their minds.
Well, you can ask Collinsville residents, even before this meeting, there's a township meeting where the same trustee who tried to put the satanic book in the library proposed turning the senior center into
Wait a second. You said something there that I missed.
Right.
This was a trustee that tried to get the Satanist book in the library?
Maryville-Collinsville Township trustee, not a library trustee.
But still, this is an elected leader.
An elected leader, not running for re-election in April.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't just some random person.
No.
This is a trustee that is saying, yeah, let's get the Satanist books in, knowing that this would cause problems. And you wonder, are they really trying to push the Satanist book, or are they just trying to
Stir the pot. Okay. You know, it's always easier to destroy something than to build.
Mm-hmm.
So you can destroy something that took 100 years to build in a short period of time. So they basically lost the election, and they've been losing, so they just want to create chaos. Like, you know, you live in Collinsville, turn to the senior center into an overnight warming shelter is just impossible. We know that. Everybody knows that. The trustees never should have considered it. They should have talked about it as adults before bringing it to the floor.
Do you think that's another move to just try to bring more chaos?
That was a week after the election. Okay. They wanted chaos. We didn't get our way in the election. The group that this trustee and pretty much the offshoot of the Democrat Party where the main energy's at is this group called Madco Blue. They put four candidates up out of five open seats. All four lost. So they're like, okay, we lost. We're just going to create chaos now. You know, a martial arts instructor told me when I was little, and it always stuck with me, someone's true character shown in defeat. He said, Paul, you're going to lose sometimes. Lose with character. So they lost their election. They didn't take like an internal look, but like, why do we lose these elections? Some of them we should have won on paper. And it's just because it's their message is bad. So they just want to cause chaos. And
I can't believe after talking with you that their message would be bad. Paul Nicolucci is here, Madison County board member, Illinois. Because you're talking about people who are running for office.
Right.
And again, this is something I asked you on the weekend. I'll ask you again to clarify.
Right.
This is not all Democrats in the county are going yes to the Satanist books. However, it sounds to me like excuse me, sorry. Everybody who is pushing the books is Democrat.
I want a response from whoever's running the Democrat Party right now, who's ever really the thought leader, because it seems like their thought leaders are pushing this.
Mm-hmm.
I want a fish from like their chairman. Let's go ahead and I disavow this or I'm for it. Because like the energy of the party's with this. So I don't know what the Democrat Party now to even stands for. So are they all for this? Because the energy of their group, this Madco Blue, where all their candidates came from, well, all but one, I mean, they're for it. They last library meeting was even worse than the last one. I said they trashed me, my church the whole time. And I promise you, I saw my first ever Satanist. And she was speaking, you know, pro-satanic stuff. And I made a statement that I had more Instagram followers than members of the Church of Satan. Because I looked on the internet and
speaking of poking the bear a little bit,
this whole thing's just absurd. I didn't get involved in elected in politics for this, but she called me out and said there's 375,000 members of the Church of Satan, and I was like, okay, it says 3,000 to 5,000 on the internet. So anyway, and I also, this is something else I'm not making up. You can listen to the audio. There were other people who were members of the occult. Not Satanists, but like witchcraft and other forms of the occult was represented there. So, and I looked on a Democrats page and they're cheerleading like on this Madco Blue page about, oh, good job, speakers. So I was like, is the occult mainstream within the Democrat Party now in Madison County? It sure looks like it.
Well,
the thought leaders and all the energies going behind these people.
It's so kooky. And at the same time, it's like you do kind of have to talk about it. Like this is a weird move that's going on real and locally here. And it's like, let's draw a little bit of attention to this just to make sure it doesn't get too crazy. Because like you said, this isn't why you run for office.
No.
Is to participate in this kind of nutty stuff. So let's put a bow on this. We're almost out of time.
Sure.
What are you guys, now that you are going into your second term here, what are you guys focused on? What are you trying to make sure doesn't happen, make sure does happen in Madison County?
Well, I have an email. Let me tell you what we've done in the Collinsville, Maryville Township for these elections. We've done some real work. That's why I got involved. Can I just give you some numbers of how we improve things?
Shit, please.
Okay. For the library, they passed a flat tax levy.
Okay.
They never do that. Tax levies on libraries are really, really high. Okay. In 5 years, under the leadership of the previous board, they earned $9,860. Okay. And just this year they raised $13,000 1 year. Okay. And then that's amazing. And then on a township, we have a tax levy decrease of 20%, which is very good for a township.
Great.
And they put more into the senior center, and we receive grants for parking lots too, and even for solar. So to have a tax levy decrease is very rare. You ever hear of that in a flat tax levy at a library?
No, that's why I voted for you.
And then if you look at their investments, it's just for them not to make money like that. I mean, 1 year they made $273, the previous library board. And under the new board total, they brought in $90,000 additional investments. That's why they have a flat tax levy, because they have $90,000 investments.
That they're bringing in privately.
Yeah, or they invest the money the township has in various kind of funds, you know?
Paul, can you do me one favor, sir, before we close here? Yeah. Can you try your hardest to bring down Madison County property taxes? I know that's not you, but anybody you know, I would be very thankful.
I am going to do my part, and I recommend everybody who's within the Republican movement. This is something me, Chairman Wesley, Chairman of the Republican Party, Ray Wesley, and Chairman, soon-to-be Chairman Slusser have been talking about. It starts at school boards, okay? Those are tough elections. That's where, you know, people who, all the school district employees get out. I mean, they really get fired up for those elections. So once you start to change the school boards, you'll see schools change. You'll see property tax probably go down. I mean, that's a tough fight. That's the next one I think the Republicans got to do. We've pretty much got the administration building. We're starting to win city councils.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to get a lot of mayor's races. We just need to get, like, school boards. We get all the township governments we need to get to, and, like, library boards.
Well, Paul Nicolucci, thanks for what you're doing. Madison County Thank board you. Member. And appreciate – hey, I'm glad you're in it for the long haul. I got to tell you, though, I was really looking for a quick answer to that question. You say, Ryan, it's done. I would have said, that's great. Let's go.
Well, I want to talk about, like, the numbers and what we've done. None of this – I mean, this circus stuff of talking about satanic books and the occult, it's like I'm watching Michael Jackson's Thriller video or something. It's
yeah, you're like, this is not supposed to be happening in, like, really local hyper-politics.
Let's talk about, like, you know, just improving people's lives, like you say, property tax stuff at the senior center.
Yeah,
I think therein lies the rub, and I think that might be the strategy here, is they want to stir up dust and muddy the water so that people can't actually see what it is that you guys are actually doing. It's an election strategy. They know their ideas are bad, and they can't win on them, which is why Republicans are winning more and more seats in Madison County, and so they've got to get the focus off of what has been working for Republicans and put it on something that's just ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, too, they try to get their army of Facebook trolls just to beat you down, wear you down, get these people to come to meetings and bash you. It takes a special kind of person to absorb all that and just kind of...
Yeah.
And, you know, I will never elevate, like, a Facebook troll and, like, call them out by name, but the elected officials I call out and talk about, we can have a debate somewhere. You know, I got access to the media. We could do a podcast. I'll pay for the airtime. We can go. Politely, of course, shake hands at the end, but we'll talk policy. Don't get on Facebook and try to do policy there and get Facebook trolls and people. Let's have a real legitimate discussion and get something done.
You might be surprised to hear this. We have a few trolls ourselves.
No. Are they going to be coming at me, too, besides the ones I got?
I don't know, Paul.
Maybe. It depends on if they can find
it. It just depends. Paul Nicolucci, Madison County Board Member, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you,
guys. We got a short break. We'll be right back with a Wiggins America Ethan version, so stay here. Well, I appreciate Paul Nicolucci being able to stop by. I think he still works a full-time job, and so it's not the easiest thing to just go, hey, can you come in the middle of the day? So I appreciate
it. Such an interesting story, too.
Him being able to do that. I know, and it just continues to progress. You didn't see any of the images, or maybe you saw a little bit of that board meeting.
I watched some of the board meeting.
Yeah, and it's just one camera off to the side, so you can't like see everything
that's
happening.
And the live stream itself was put up from that Madison County Blue or whatever that organization was, so the audio was kind of quiet, and you couldn't at least on my computer, I couldn't hear it. I'm sure if I would have thrown some headphones on.
But it's just bizarre to be dealing with issues that are so, I don't know, they feel like, not that like Satanist books are nationalist issues, but the whole book issue is a national issue. And it cracks me up. For the last 4 years, you'd get on Twitter and people on the left, like big, big leftist names, Mark Hamill, Stephen King,
yes,
would say things like, well, the right is banning books again. on a platform that had been banning conservatives from speaking up until it got bought. It's a crazy, crazy world.
Well, I think I said this yesterday with Brad Young. Whenever you're used to preferential treatment, equal treatment seems like oppression. And that's kind of what has happened on the left. They have gotten preferential treatment. They see their message, especially like mainstream media, whenever Twitter was Twitter, not X, you know, they got preferential treatment. The last statistic I saw was it was something like it was like 60 whenever before Elon bought X, it was 60% left leaning, 40% conservative.
I think it was even more so.
It might have been.
Yeah, it was more than
that. But after that, it was like 50-50.
And this was a CNN graphic that I saw.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But it was, it was something like 63-37 or something before. And I don't know about you, but I got throttled really bad during COVID.
Because I used
a keyword. I probably said ivermectin or something random.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, you're throttled. And my account stayed the exact same, which I don't care that much about. I like Twitter. I enjoy being on there for news. I'm not trying to gain a ton of followers. I haven't mentioned this. I released a book today. That's where I usually...
Hooray.
Yeah, The Grocery List. I was on Mark Cox this morning talking about... since Ethan has to take Paul out and we got to maybe wait to do Wiggins America with him. I released this book today called The Grocery List. And the quick story behind it that is why I have so... I mean, that's really... I keep socials to promote stuff. Like when I have a book, it's fun. You know, share personal milestones on Facebook every now and then. This would be one of those. It was endorsed by none other than Deep Thoughts guy, Jack Handy. And I worked so freaking hard to get that endorsement because The Grocery List is basically Deep Thoughts, just my own version of those things. And so I'm like, I got to get that guy who made this genre famous to endorse my book. And he initially told me no. And I kept working on him and kept sending him stuff, I guess, long enough that he was like, all right, I like it. I'll do it. And so Jack Handy...
So you badgered him into...
kind of. I don't know. I don't know whether it was me badgering him or whether it was he actually liked the material or not. Ethan, we're talking about the book release. I know you had to take Paul down. We'll probably move Wiggins America back because your topic is so darn good that it needs to be savored.
Well, I appreciate that, Ryan. And, you know, it just goes to show that hard work and doing things yourself and just taking matters into your own hands.
It's like
just
he's doing a post-game interview.
It always ends up paying off in the end.
Do you do post-game interviews?
Wait, am I the one being interviewed or interviewing?
No, do you interview people post-game?
Yeah, I do.
Is that an answer that you get a lot?
No. No.
Football, right?
How often do you get, it is what it is. I mean...
It kind of depends. So, like, mostly what I'm doing is a lot of stuff in the clubhouse with Cardinals players where it's more so diving specifically. I mean, there's a lot of really talented writers and people asking questions, so they're diving more so into, like, the deeper stuff about the game rather than just kind of the basic stuff. Sometimes you get...
What, like when you get Paul Goldschmidt on the show, are you like, what is a base?
Well, no. No. Paul Goldschmidt, fun fact about Paul Goldschmidt, and I mean if you watch Cardinals games, if you watch the post game show, he is one of the, I don't want to say this rudely, he does not go into a lot of detail unless you ask a really good question. Otherwise, he's going to give you a very boring, very nondescriptive answer.
How good do you feel when you hit a good question?
Oh, it's like yes, because you know that if he gives you a really good answer, that he like it, because when you're around that long, you just respect good questions, and you hear it so often, you probably hear the same questions over and over to where you're just like. And then it just probably gets tiring.
You know what's funny? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so when you do get that question, it's pretty rewarding. But there's also times with him specifically where, I mean, he would literally, like, someone would ask him something, and he would either decline to answer or, like, what have you been working on? He's like, I'm going to keep that to myself. Like, you could tell he's been around for a long time. He handles it a very specific way, but he's also a pro's pro. So
when I first got into TV... I worked at UPN 46 at the time, and UPN had a bunch of national stations. My boss, as an intern, had been at National Fox back in the 90s when, like, Fox was, like, really kicking it, you know? And he goes, man, I would take his job as a younger man was to take stars from Fox National to events and stuff. And he rose up through the ranks. And so he had a lot of really good stories about random celebrities. One of them was the guy from Evil Dead. What's his name? Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
And just walking around with that guy, he said he's really genuine, really good guy. He said the guy, his name is on the show, he was Bud Bundy. I don't remember what his real name is.
Yeah.
He played Bud Bundy on Married with Children.
Son.
And he said that guy wasn't mean or anything, but a lot of stars, you know, they're not there to converse with you. They're there to do an appearance, and you're just driving them.
Right.
And so they're kind of taking downtime when they're with you. So he said, I like to get talk with them because how often do you get to spend a car ride with a star?
Right.
So he said, the one thing I found is I'll find what their other projects are. So outside of, oh, you're on Married with Children, tell me what that's like.
Right.
He found out Bud Bundy at the time had an album, which I have no idea. And he goes, hey, I heard your album is pretty good. And he, you know, I have no idea if he actually heard it. And the guy was like, no, really? Really?
That's awesome.
You listen to my album? And he would find those things about people and just go for it. And he would open those people up. And I'll tell you what. The same is true. Not that I don't like talking to people.
David Faustino is the guy.
But if people come up to me at an event and they're like, hey, I read your book, I'm like, let's be best friends. So just to bring the thing full circle, last question. Who do you talk to that you're like, oh, they're just great, real easy interview?
Ooh,
they just go forever.
My favorite people to talk to. Oh man, it's
time's ticking.
I know. You're making me nervous now. I really enjoyed talking to Miles Michaelis. He always gives funny answers.
Oh, I bet.
Lance Lynn, super dry, but watching him and Jim Hayes react is always a really fun time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Ethan. We'll do Ethan's Wiggins America at maybe the end of next hour.
Sounds good.
Right now we are going into a top of the hour break, so stick around for Jim Carafano after this break. On 97.1, it's the Annie Fry Show.